Here we go. We are looking, by the way, for the sake, it is June, I don't know, what is it? Is this the 19th? This must be the 19th a.m. morning sermon, teaching, whatever you want to call it. And we are looking at part 6 of Paul's manner of life. We have talked about Paul's ways for years, and we have tried to live Paul's ways, and more often than not, probably irritated people with him, I suppose, or whatever. They don't want what it is we have, and according to Romans chapter 11, people should want what we have when it comes to the risen Savior, and all these denominations and pastors and people are so caught up in the Great Commission and the which you've heard me say that before, but can you just get over the news and the things that are happening? It is so tribulation clues that it just can't be far. And I sent out that little cartoon about the rapture, because that guy that mocked the rapture ended up that rapture didn't come, so the world is mocking that, and it just made me think, you know what, the devil's got to be getting people to laugh about the rapture, maybe, because it's not that far away. And then Sam, I think it was one of you out there, reminded me that they've already got a movie out, an alien, his name was Paul. So, you know, it's just, maybe it's just being weird, me thinking some odd things, but, we're getting right down to the devil's just having to mock the last ounce of truth, which is Paul's teachings and the rapture. And he's starting to get that to be mockable. So when the Antichrist does show up, he'll just be more than welcome. And so much of what we're talking about here is antichristable, the opposites. And that's exactly what's being taught in mainstream Christianity. And remember, we say he's the Antichrist, not the anti-Muhammad or the anti-Savior. He's Antichrist. And so he's got to be teaching something that has to do with Jesus. It sure can't be the truth. Okay, so we are looking at Paul's manner of life, how we do those things that we're trying to do that would be Paul's ways. Paul's ways are supposed to be taught in every church, he says, when he says that to Timothy. So we're not looking at that. We're going to look at how we go about doing his ways. And we've got this list of things. Here's what we've done so far. We have at the beginning of a person's Christianity, when he becomes a Christian, as the Bible calls him, as much as a believer so much. And they discover true salvation and the importance of the King James. They have to make some decisions right away. From where will you get your directions as a Christian? From a friend, from a pastor, from a church, from other books about the Bible, Christian TVs and Christian movies and that kind of a thing. A Bible, okay, which Bible? There's like almost 500 different Bibles out there now. And every one of them compares themselves to the King James. Which set of directions are you going to try to follow as a Christian? You want to be a Christian, then you got to follow some sort of directions. You're going to follow all the Bible? just the Gospels? You're going to do the Old Testament? You're going to do like that one lady did back at the nurse home, where we're in the last days because we're in the last book, so we follow Revelation, which is a false gospel, if taught today. Or you're going to rightly divide. If you're going to rightly divide, you're going to rightly divide by verse, or you're going to rightly divide by Paul's teachings, like he says. Who are you going to follow? You're going to follow Jesus, which you would think doesn't that make sense? Or you're going to follow the risen Jesus, and you do that through Paul. You're going to follow the other apostles, the apostles' doctrine? Are you going to sing Peter, James, and John in their sailboat? Remember we sang that, and then it just dawned on us years and years ago that, wait a minute, those aren't the guys we're supposed to hop in the boat with at all. Which Jesus are you talking about? The risen Jesus teachings, the gospel Jesus teachings, the tribulational Jesus teachings, the millennial Jesus teachings? How about another Jesus teachings? The Bible's got them all in there. Again, which apostle, Paul, Peter, James, John, or all of them, whatever? Which commission, the great or the greater? These are decisions that have to be made in your life. What's your purpose? What purpose do you want to have as a Christian? You don't have to go to Rick Warren to get the purpose-driven life. Paul's purpose, Acts 26, the verses are there, is to please God and to turn people away from the dark. There's purpose. We've been over that. Whose faith are you going to follow? Are you going to follow your faith, or are you going to follow the faith of Jesus Christ? If you're going to follow the faith of Jesus Christ, you have to get that from Paul, nobody else. If you're going to have your own faith, then you know better or stronger than Oprah or any all these people talk about your faith should be strong. Yeah, well, your faith isn't strong enough. It's his faith that we live in. Galatians talks about that. Are you going to be silly about it or are you going to be sincere? You're going to try to do some things and then back off when it gets tough? You're going to come up with some excuses not to do it tonight? You're going to go someplace, I got to wear this, I have to be part of the, I don't want to stick out. I mean, the whole thing. You know, are you going to be sincere? He said, be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Wouldn't that be nice if you could be that way? I mean, that's how we should be. Then to whom or what will you cleave? Do you cleave to that which is good, which means you don't get around that which is not good? Of course, you got to define good because Isaiah 5 tells us that nowadays, the times we're living at here, things that are good are going to be start called evil, and things that are evil are going to be start called good. And it's amazing what's going on. Are you going to be ashamed or not? These are decisions you have to make. And then the last decision, which church are you going to go to? Is it according to the pastor? What's he teaching? Is he teaching the ways of Paul? You're going to have church at home. How are you going to handle that? Is it just you and the Lord with church, which is fine because we're part of the body of Christ? I mean, study this thing. Is the church the truth? No, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, but the church isn't the truth. What are you looking for here? You want this fleshy musical worship? You want to get into the modern flesh songs and where they sing the choruses and worship leaders and teams and churches all coming together to worship together based on music, you know, or the seducing spirits bringing all these doctrines of devils, it says there in Timothy. You want to go to church because you got these great performances and these specials, you know, singing the old hymns, but do you care about the things that are not right in those old hymns? Is it a good hymn because it's old? All sorts of decisions you make. What about worship? Acts chapter 17 tells us what worship is not supposed to be, and everybody's doing the worship that's not supposed to be. Decision, decision, decision. That's the way it is. Then we got into more specifics then. After the deciding you have to go, so then you got to depart. And remember, this whole thing is geared on other people. Paul's manner of life concerning other people is what we're looking at here. So you want to depart from the things that you should depart from. And others are going to bug you about it. So you depart in spite of others. You need to despise for the sake of other people. You're supposed to destroy the sake of others. Destroy the magnificence for the sake of others. Then we talked about prayer. We looked at the verses that told us we're still supposed to pray and how to pray for other people and how to be there for them with prayer. It's okay. There's a number of surgeries coming up this week, and we can make our request known before God. Paul tells us to. We know that the Holy Spirit prays for it, and it comes in. We know all that stuff. Paul still tells us to pray for other people. And we talked about tears last week. Tears for others, knowing that they have tears as well as you have tears. Paul had tears. I have tears for other people. I have tears for myself, for my family, for people I know of. Do we have tears? Do we have concern? Is our heart breaking for people? Does your stomach get to flutteries when you know somebody's having a hard time? Or do we just blow through life just taking care of ourselves, I guess? And then lastly, we talked about grace. And we didn't just talk about grace in general. We talked about having grace for other people. Remember, this is Paul's man. We're doing the ways of Paul, but let's think of other people as we do these things as well. And grace was very, very important. And if you want to hear that, that was Wednesday night. Now, this morning, that was about an 8-minute introduction of review. What we're going to do this morning, we're going to look at truth. We finished with grace on Wednesday night towards other people. We're going to look at truth towards other people as well. So, like I said, we have got tons of verses to go through. So let's just let it rip here, get going. And I guess I could go right to the conclusion. People like the grace, but they can't handle the truth. I don't think any of us can handle the truth totally. We don't want to know everything that we ought to know. We argue, we fight. Only by pride cometh contention. In Proverbs, only by pride. Anything, any contention you have between anybody is who's got the most pride, I guess, or who's got the least pride. I don't know, but it's pride. Only by pride. So if truth bothers you, your pride's been smacked. It's just that simple. If we could accept that, we would be a long ways towards accepting more truth in our lives. So we look at grace, and then we go right here to truth, because Jesus always mentioned grace and truth, and he mentioned it in that order, the Bible. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He says in Colossians, and by the way, the notes are already done. I just forgot to put them up this morning. I was busy. And we're just going to go through these verses, and you can get the actual references later. We'll look up some of them, but, not that we're in a hurry or anything. I got plenty of time here today. Colossians says, which has come unto you as it is in the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Grace comes before truth. He says in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we went over grace Wednesday night. Now we need to look at truth, because they go hand in hand. You can't have grace without truth, or you're just a modern Christian, hyper-gracer, great commissioner, lovey-dovey, smoochy-woochy, grace only. You put up with anything, not a problem. That's not Paul. Paul is not just grace. Like we mentioned about that last week. There's so much more coming up on this list that we don't just stop at number 8. We don't just stop at grace. There's a time to go beyond the grace, which we'll get into as we get more down this list. So, grace without truth, it's a hyper-Paul guy. It's a hyper-dispensational guy. It's a modern Christian. Then you've got truth without grace. Remember we talked about this years ago. That's a Ruckmanite for you right there. That's most of the street preachers. That's somebody who's out of balance. They mean well with what they know about their Bible. They just pound truth to people, and they have no grace. Been there, done that. Matter of fact, and I despise that. There has to be truth, but there has to be grace first. And I don't mind the grace thing, but I can't ignore the truth. So we go through some verses that deal with truth today when it comes to other people. For example, John chapter 8 says that, what is truth? Well, thy word is truth in John 17. That's where it's at, John 17. Thy word is truth. And we know in John, these are gospel things. That's okay. So they're still facts. That's why you can't skip the gospels. We just don't apply them to us. And it says, thy word is truth. He says in John 8 that the truth makes you free. Okay? So here's the question to ask then. What truth are you talking about? Are you talking about the Old Testament law as truth today? Are you talking about the gospels as truth to us today? It's true in its dispensation. Is it true today to us to apply? The tribulation, the truth of the tribulation books, do we apply those today? No. Do we apply the Great Commission, Acts 1-8? No. Do we learn them? Sure we do. That's truth for its time. Now listen to this verse in Thessalonians. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you. No, we're not election. He has chosen you to salvation through what? Here's what the plan has always been. Sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Okay, again, what's the truth? Because your salvation is always been sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So what was the truth in the Old Testament? John says it was for the law was given by Moses. That was the truth during that time. So they believed the truth that it was taught to them. See what I'm saying? That's how you read the Gospels. When you mention something, the question then is, how does that fit with what Paul teaches? Oh, I forgot. I had something. I'll probably talk about it tonight. It's just a good illustration for something that Paul preaches that is in another book. He still preaches it to us in a different way. So we still can get everything Jesus wants us to have through Paul. If he wants us to get it that he taught to the Jews, he'll give it to us through Paul. I got a marvelous illustration. But anyway, let's get back to this thing. Old Testament, the truth was the law of Moses. Gospels. I got a bunch of verses. Let's look at a couple of these things. Let's look at Matthew 14:33. What was the truth during the Gospels? Because their salvation was based on the belief of the truth. Now, we know a ton of verses in the Gospels talk about the fact that their salvation was a national one. It was the Jews as a nation. The nation had to be born again. The nation was born the first time. And it's all about Jesus coming to be the Messiah to this nation, to these people, to the Jewish people. So look up a couple of verses here, because I really want to get into Paul stuff more than anything. These verses are marvelous. So Matthew 14:33. I bet you some of them are wrong, too, the way I do these things. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And I got, these are such good verses. So enjoyed this, writing this thing up and typing it, looking up the verses. John chapter 4, verse 48. But I really do want to get into. Then Jesus said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. We see that in the gospel days, that that Jesus himself was the truth. The truth was he the Son of God? We see that the truth was reinforced by signs and wonders. That was truth. That's what they saw as truth. They would see something take place. Yeah, that's true. That's from God. And they would get their truth from that. And the truth was the fact that Jesus was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. That's what they had to believe. Romans 15, Paul even teaches us that. He says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. So Jesus came along to preach to the Jews what the Jews were taught during Moses' time, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. That's the truth of the Gospels. See, if we teach that to us today, it's no longer truth. What about the Great Commission? Mark 6, I got more verses on your internet. Go ahead and look them up sometime. They're excellent verses that talk about these things. They'll be a sermon in themselves. Mark 16, we all know that. Mark 16, the verses that are missing in all the other Bibles. I think it's about Mark 16. Oh, probably. I think it's around 9 or something like that. From 9 to the rest of that chapter, they're gone in all these modern Bibles. NIV, ASV. I mean, what is that? Well, what it is it exposes the Great Commission if it's taught today. And you see that the signs that follow them that believe, and there's the list, and confirming the word with signs. So during the Great Commission, truth was, it was from the Holy Ghost, of course, as Jesus talked about it in John. You know, the comforter and things. And they had signs to follow it. The Great Commission. It was the Holy Ghost working through Peter, working through John, working through the apostles. That was the truth. What those guys said was the truth. They didn't have a Bible, remember? They didn't have a Bible. Mark 16, the signs that followed these people with what they said proved to them that this was truth. So what do we have today? We have people that follow signs, and we got these healings and miracles, and they're lying wonders. They're spectacular things in so many places, and these guys come up with signs after to follow, and they think that's truth. No, that's not truth today. That is not truth today. Look at Galatians chapter 2. They want to follow Peter. Peter's the hero for everybody today. They go to 1st and 2nd Peter, and they go to Peter's teachings in the early Acts, and he's the man. The Catholic Church is designed around Peter's teachings and things. Well, that ought to be a clue right there for somebody. We go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. You know these verses. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, that's Paul, as the gospel of the circumcision, that's the Jews, was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Peter and Paul taught different things. Peter taught that stuff to the Jews. Paul taught that stuff to the Jews at first, and then went right on to the Gentiles. The Jews had a chance to hear from the resurrected Christ, but they rejected him again by killing Stephen, and off they go into the wild blue yonder, while the Gentiles loved to hear what they were hearing. Now today, the Gentiles hate to hear what Paul teaches, and the modern Christian loves to hear what the Jews were taught. And because they get followed up with signs, they think it's truth. It is so deceptive. How can you say it's so deceptive? Because you look at 2 Thessalonians and you look at Revelation 14 and you see that the devil is going to work through those signs and lying wonders, he says, during these days as we're preparing for the tribulation. Brother, here's the verses, and you go to Acts 2:38, Acts chapter 4, 31 to 30. I mean, those, I got the verses on there for you to study if you want to dig deeper. Revelation 14, for the tribulation truth. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. So there's the truth for the during the tribulation, called the everlasting gospel. And Revelation 14 says here in verse 19, I'm sorry, verse 9, 14, verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead, the same shall drink, or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here we go. Here is the patience of the saints. Here's tribulational truth. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So during the tribulation, they can lose that stuff. They can lose that stuff based on what they're on their walk. So, see, that's truth during the tribulation. That's not truth today. That's truth in the Bible that's telling us the truth about the tribulation. But you try to apply that today, it's no longer truth. So what we're looking at here, we got to this quick. Again, there's a bunch more verses there. We're getting to Paul. Paul's the truth today. Paul is the truth today. The dispensation of grace. Yet we have to present the truth. People don't want to hear the truth. I should probably be Mr. Negative and go right down into that thing here, like you always say. Why don't we just get to the end? Not to, however, people like the grace, but they can't handle the truth. We'll get to that when we're done here. And then our job. What are we to do as Christians concerning the truth? We are so afraid of putting forth the truth anymore. Maybe it's because, like so many times, we put it forth in an improper manner. Paul's ways is truth today. Words from Paul, truth. King James Bible. Genesis to Revelation, truth. The different portions of that Bible are taught to different dispensations as truth for that day. And that's why he said, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So during this time, what is the truth? Well, thy word is still truth. Where is thy word today? King James Bible. Paul, rightly divided. Which I know you all know, but I just... We always got going to have some visitors someday, and the website out there, they're going to watch it, and got to bring all that in again. Now, so we know there's grace. We know there's tears. Now we know that with that grace comes truth. And he says, let your speech be always with grace. Okay, that's good. That's in Colossians chapter 4. That's good. Let your speech be always with grace. Okay, is that smoochy-woochy butterfly lady just soft and waft and whatever those things are? No, he says seasoned with salt. That salt is truth. That you may know how you ought to answer every man. We should be able to answer every man with grace, with that salt of truth in there. We got to get that truth in there. And so many people are afraid to mention the truth when they're trying. This always has amazed me. Somebody will ask somebody why they wear what they wear, why they talk the way they talk, why it's different, why they don't want to go someplace anymore when they used to go all the time, why they don't want it, why they're not going to take a drink when they are offered one. I mean, the list goes on, and we answer with grace. We're not going to clobber them about, God, you know, da, 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 da. But we don't have any salt. We're afraid to tell them, I don't believe in that. Well, that's not having any grace. That's grace with salt, seasoned with salt. We are so afraid to bring truth into the picture in whatever small manner we are. And I'm just as guilty as you folks. You know, I'm in a school. I have to be so careful with truth because truth is foreign in a school system. Truth is foreign in the government. Truth is foreign in your neighborhood. So many families, truth is foreign anymore. They don't want to hear it. I'll give you verses for that. I got to get moving here. I don't want to save it for tonight because some of you won't be there tonight. Grr. Okay, so we can't leave the truth out when we're offering grace. Galatians chapter 1, there's verses. Ephesians chapter 3, the long set of verses. You can read those on your own if you like. Paul says when he's talking with Festus, he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness." So Paul's words today are truth. John's words are not truth today. They were truth during the gospel. Peter's words will be truth during the tribulation. Peter's words have taught today, as far as application, is not truth. Jesus' teachings in the Gospels to the Jews, confirming the promises of the fathers, was truth to the Jews, Israel, but it's not truth to the Gentiles, and it's not truth to us. Here's a thought I don't think people still, I talk about it, but the commandments that were given to the Jews was not given to the Gentiles. Gentiles were heathen. They went by conscience. Only the Jews had to follow that law. Those Ten Commandments were given to the Jews. Well, the Gentiles were given this conscience, which may include a law, but they didn't have it as a law like that. So putting that Levitical law and the Ten Commandments on us, is that truth today? I don't know. Does Paul talk about the Levitical law? No. Does Paul talk about the Ten Commandments? Yes, he leaves one of them out. And I know you all know which one it is. Just remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's not truth today. And you got the Seventh Day Adventists. You got all sorts of people that we've been brought up on Sunday. That it's just we just don't do anything on Sunday. You got people that think church should be on Saturday. We do church on Wednesdays. We've had studies at homes on Thursdays and Tuesdays and Mondays. And what's the big deal? Remember, we even tried it back in Tushy. We tried to have church when everybody was available. Everybody's got the night shifts, different ones. And remember, well, let's all have church on Tuesday night because everybody's off work. Well, it never happened. It didn't work because nobody was ever off together. It was just very frustrating. I remember that. You know, it's just hard when you realize you're trying to teach somebody something and they're not there to learn it. And you know it's going to affect them. And that's just life, I guess. But anyway, let's keep going here. Back to truth again. In Corinthians, Paul says, "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Remember, these people did not have a Bible, so they didn't have they had the scriptures, Old Testament scriptures. I mean, Jesus read from Isaiah, even though the modern Bibles don't say that. But these people. Were the manifestation of the truth. Are we, pastors today, the manifestation of the truth? I don't think so. But the King James Bible is what should be manifest, should be brought out. And that Bible will commend itself to the man's conscience, not the preacher. I'm learning a lesson myself in the last few days that I have exhibited in all my life as a pastor and a preacher. I'll talk about it in one of these sermons, but not right now. So we continue to learn that we are so wrong that we're trying to make some things right, as we learned with Paul. Anyway, because that Bible through Paul and those writings, that's truth. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10, "As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia." So here's Paul. The truth of Christ was in him. Paul was truth. Paul still is truth. Is the truth of Christ in us? Well, some of it is because we've changed our walk. We've changed some things. We've changed how we talk to people. What have we done? But we are not the truth of Christ as Paul was. We've got a Bible. Now, we know that the truth of Christ is in this book. Amen. And so because of Paul, he said, no man's going to stop me from telling people about it. And we are constantly being told to stop teaching the truth. How do you know that that's the truth? Where is the truth? Look at what the truth does to people. It makes them mad. So you can't possibly be teaching the truth. Why doesn't everybody want to hear the truth? Maybe the truth isn't... And you get all these comments, and it's we get chipped away here. We've got here... Paul says in Galatians, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Well, the answer was yes. Still is. You bring Paul up in a situation, the King James Bible, rightly divided, bring up, let me say this, the teachings of the risen Savior through Paul. you bring those up, you will become an enemy. So this whole purpose of this series is to try not to be enemies to people. Try to do the ways of Paul as we learn them, and we're going to make adjustments because we didn't learn them great, didn't learn them right, we overlearned them, or we didn't do it in the right manner, so people got choked and burnt, and there's all sorts of, it's so challenging to be the Christian today. In a perverted world, which everybody seems to love, the special effects, the gadgets, the stuff, they want the government to take care of everything, and we're just in a mess. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. No. Ephesians chapter 4 says, speak in the truth in love. That's one of the things Paul prays, that we would be able to speak the truth in love. And they don't think we love them. They don't think we care. And maybe we didn't present it in the fact that they saw that. I mean, there's always that possibility. He says in Thessalonians, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us from these Paul and these guys, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So this word of God that came from Paul and these guys worked in those people. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9, and 10 says how people saw how Paul had gotten into these people's lives. So what's the Word of God today? King James Bible. What's the Word of God directed to us today? Paul's teachings, the risen Savior. That's the truth. And we need to tell that to people with grace, but seasoned with that truth that's in there. The Lord would have all men to be saved, Paul says to Timothy, and to come into the knowledge of the truth. He wants people to have the truth. He says about the local church. Paul says, but if I tarry long, and that's Paul is tarrying long, not the Lord for the rapture, which people take that for Lord speaking there. Not at all. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Okay, from a local assembly basis, that church claims to be the truth anymore. What does the church teach? I followed a church set of teachings one time, and it crumbled. Of course it would. I followed the Baptistic denominational teachings of that church as if that was the truth. Now, where's the house of God today? The house of God is in us. Paul makes that perfectly clear. Okay, so does that make us the truth? No, this King James Bible is the truth. And we are supposed to be a pillar in truth, a pillar and ground of the truth. Yes, the truth ought to come out from us. But we're living in a time more and more where people don't want to hear it. And we'll go to those verses in a minute, or in a few minutes here. That's the church. The local assembly is just a pattern supposed to be a pattern of the body of Christ, but it's certainly a strayed away from that, hasn't it? Then he says in 2 Timothy 2:15, you know the verse, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the key verse. The truth, the word of truth should be rightly divided, not wrongly divided. Those are profane and vain babblings. And we study to show thyself approved unto God. Do we show ourselves approved unto God because we're studying? Or when we study, do we find out that we are actually approved unto God? You got to study your Bible to find out just how clean God has made us. And we study that Bible to find out that we are actually now approved of God because of what His Son did for us. That's what you find out. You rightly divide that Bible, you find out that your sins aren't imputed anymore. You find out that Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, so now the law is no longer there for righteousness. So, all things are lawful. And you study that and you find out that it doesn't matter what rotten thing you've done, it's not imputed as sin. It's imputed as a bad work, as such, and it'll be brought up at the judgment seat of Christ. So you've got to study to learn that stuff. That's dividing the word of truth. So many people rightly divide the word of truth by going by verse. One school teaches this verse, one school teaches that verse, teaches it this way, teaches it that way. No, it's so simple. Follow Paul. Follow Paul's books. It's that simple. Well, what about those things in Corinthians now that make it look like it's Jewish teachings of the gospel, because there were still Jews there. It was that bridge that crosses that God has all the time from dispensation to dispensation. Anyway. Then he says here in 2 Timothy as well, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. So that's who we're working with. We're working with people that oppose themselves. The problem I have with me is I oppose myself. The reason you're having the difficulties and troubles you have, because your biggest enemy is yourself. You don't want to stop saying this. You don't want to stop doing this. Why not? You don't want to. Your flesh doesn't want to. You're appeasing your flesh. You're making your flesh happy. You are your worst enemy. And if somebody comes along and points that out, he becomes the enemy, so you don't have to be mad at yourself. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm sorry, but yes, you are. But aren't you glad all things are lawful? Yeah, but it's going to cause somebody to stumble. It's just an occasion for the flesh. It's got a power over you that you can't stop. You can't say no. Why not? It's got a power over you. That's what makes it wrong. And goes on, is edifying. Anyway. Okay, well, here are a couple of quick verses. I don't want to miss the last part, the conclusion. Here are a couple of verses that are taught to us as truth today, but they're not, because it's not written to us. Hebrews, of course. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So they're saying in Hebrews that if you... you receive the knowledge of the truth and you're saved as such, and you sin, you're out and you're out forever. That's not right. That's not truth today. That's truth during the tribulation. That's called taking the mark. You're done. You can't get back. 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's not today. Listen, we're saved. We haven't escaped the pollutions of this world, as it says in Peter. We've got sin in our flesh, but not in our soul. So we have fellowship with him. And we still walk in this flesh. We're still walking in darkness out here. And Paul's purpose in Acts 26:18 is to get us to go from that darkness of this wicked, perverted world and our ways and the things that we do. And let's go to the living God. And we can't get rid of that darkness yet, because that's not the dispensation. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I don't say we don't have sin. We have sin. It's in our flesh. Paul says that in Romans chapter 7. But all things are lawful, so there is no sin. Romans chapter 6. Come on, folks. You can't do Romans and you can't do 1 John. They conflict. He that saith, I know him, 1 John 2:4, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. We don't have to keep Jesus' commandments that he taught in the Old Testament days. Paul does have a verse. I don't know where it's at. I remember I should have had that in here. Paul calls what he teaches to us, he calls them ordinances, and he calls them commandments. Are those the commandments he's talking about here? No, not at all. Not at all. This is tribulational stuff. Says in 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. So we have these people that think they're anointed. And it says, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth. So people think that the truth they have today, because of that verse, now who knows what it says in a modern Bible, but because of that verse, they think that they are anointed, so they are truth. Their feelings, God will show them the truth in their heart and in their mind and their feelings. They do the right thing, God will bless them. That's not written by Paul. Do the right things, we will be rewarded, but not until the judgment seat of Christ. Go ahead, do the Beatitudes. Go ahead, do the Golden Rule. Go ahead, just love everybody, have grace. That's not right. That's not truth. It might make for a better day, because you have all these friends and you don't want to stir them up with a little bit of seasoned salt in your conversation. That's one of the hard things about truly being saved and truly having the King James Bible, is how do you do this without just burning people and burning their bridges? I'm sorry, but we're going to try to improve ourselves. But you know the truth? They just don't want to hear the truth, no matter how you season it, no matter how you say it. But we can still try to say it better and live it better, because you just get tired of burning bridges, and this is where we're headed on this series here, okay? Second John and Third John, I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth. We all love to have our children doing the right thing. But is it really the right thing? I don't know if you remember my series a long time ago. Floyd, you were probably about, you were there back. You've been with us from the beginning pretty much. Where we talked about doing right wrong. Doing wrong right. Doing right, but doing it wrong. Or doing wrong, but think we're doing it right. Dig that one up and listen to it sometime. Okay. Here we go. The negative part of this whole thing. People don't want the truth. Even in John, he said, this is a condemnation that light is coming to the world, that'd be Jesus Christ. Now, let's take that and let's apply that through Paul. Where is the light today? Through the risen Savior, because he is the light of the world, but it's the risen Savior now that's the light. Those are his teachings through Paul, through a King James Bible. And it says, and men love darkness rather than light. They still do. They still do. Romans chapter 1, who changed the truth of God into a lie. These modern Bibles take the truth and they change it to a lie. These preachers take what used to be the truth and they change it into a lie. And it says, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. See what's happened? This is what's going on. And listen, don't get so negative on me that why do you talk about that? Because I have been burned by my religion that I had for years, and I know people that have religion and they don't realize they're being burnt, and you can't tell them. But I despise it, and I try to destroy the magnificence of it with grace in my speech, with seasoned with salt, and I've never been good at that. Somebody asked me a question. I can take 45 minutes to an hour to answer that question. Going through, because I love the book. I love the scriptures. I just think it's great. That Bible can just yank your religion away. And it can make you pleased by God. Because you please God. But it's going to stir the mud, and you're going to suffer for it. That's what he says. He says in Romans 2:20, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. A form of knowledge and of the truth. Galatians chapter 5 asks somebody, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not now obey the truth? So we have this truth, and different folks here, I got a list a mile long of people that got excited about Paul and got excited, changed their lives in so many different ways, and over time, it just falls apart. Who hindered you? Husband? Wife? Brothers, sisters, kids, neighbors, teachers, pastors? Who's stopping you from doing the right thing anymore? You are? Yourselves? What's happened to you? You did run well, Paul says. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth now? What's going on here? You were doing so well. That's what we're dealing with today. He says in Timothy, these people that correct the Bible are men of corrupt minds and they're destitute of the truth. But yet these are nice people. These are good people. They love you. They've been doing good things for you. They preach and teach righteousness, he says in 2 Corinthians. How can you not love them? Well, if they got a different book, and they do a little King James here, a little NIV, they kind of please everybody. You're destitute of the truth there, sir, because the truth says not to do that. But if you say that, or hint it, or whatever, you're a troublemaker. And I think people get tired of the battle. Again, who's hindering you that you're backing off from obeying the truth? What's happened to you? What's going on?
Oh, nothing's happened to me. I just realized that it really isn't that bad of a thing. I had higher standards a year ago or 2 years ago, but you know what? It really isn't wrong today. I know. Nothing's wrong. All things are lawful. So, yeah, you're right. Oh, you can do anything you want. But you know, it can still be wrong. As far as it doesn't please the Lord. It quenches the spirit. It causes someone to stumble. It's a flesh thing. It's a brain thing. It's not expedient. It's not the right thing to do.
He says in Timothy again, chapter 3, 2 Timothy, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What a sad thing to learn all this stuff and not know the truth still. They ever talk to the brainy, the scholar guys? I mean, what does he say in Corinthians? He says, I was just thinking this last night. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if I got this right, which maybe I do and maybe I don't. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, yeah. He says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. These scholars that are going to these new Bibles all the time and somebody else comes up with this and you go to a Bible education and you learn all this stuff and you know what you're taught out of the truth. You can't handle the simplicity that is in Christ. You can't handle it. Educated, wise people can't get this stuff. It's too simple for them. Then he says here in, again, 2 Timothy, the next verse, now was Jannes and Jambres, or Annas and Ambres, or whatever, withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. You've got people that resist the truth, and it says they're men of corrupt minds. They don't want to hear what the truth is because their mind is corrupt. Look at the world we're living in. Look at what we do. Look at the stuff we buy. Look at the games we play. Look at what we're doing. We're our minds are being corrupted by these movies and TVs. Look what our kids are being fed. Look what they're being taught. And they're going to resist the truth. He says in Timothy again, chapter 4, verse 4, and they should turn away their ears from the truth and should be turned unto fables. They got that itching ear thing, but they're not itching to hear the truth. Why do you go to this church? Well, because I like the pastor and he doesn't burn on me and he's a nice guy and the music is... You know what that is? You're going to a church that itch, that scratches your little itch ear. Ear itch. There you go. Ear itch. That's why you're going to that church. You know you shouldn't be going to that place. It's not teaching the truth. And God is really hard. You know, people get critical of us. We're not near as hard as the truth. He says they're destitute of the truth. He says in Titus, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. We are being taught things on a constant basis to turn from the truth. And sadly, people look at us and they see us trying to do the right thing according to Paul's ways, and to them, that's not truth. To them, total grace, just don't worry about anybody else, just relax. I know, I'm trying to learn that. I'm still always trying to learn. You can't help people. They have to do it themselves in 2 Timothy 2:25. They've got to get out of the snare themselves. I'd venture to say I'm probably zero for 10, 15, 20, or I guess go back to all my school kids, probably a couple thousand. I've had 25,000 kids in my teaching career. I try to help those kids beyond band, and I wonder if anybody, if they are, it's because they got a hold of the Scriptures themselves. And they got out of that snare themselves by what I preached and taught to them. I can't do it for other people. I fought that, and that. Remember that quote? Remember that quote, Robert E. Lee? I can't remember. I can't. My memory is so bad. I just can't get over this quote. It's just, and it so matches 2 Timothy 2:25. Same thing is taught. Burdened greatly by those around me, their lives are miserable. They're being killed and shot and wounded. So he cared for these people. But he said, but incorporating their suffering into his own life didn't change it for anybody. That's hard because you want to help people. You want to show them this stuff. And I'm offering the possibility that maybe our manner of life hasn't been such for people to want what it is that Christ has given to us. He hasn't given us a new house. He hasn't given us a new car. He hasn't given us a great job. That's all reaping what you sowed in this modern America. What has he given us? He's given us a clean soul. He's given us a Bible that tells us rightly divided. He tells about imputation, spiritual circumcision, the riches of his grace. Oh, it's just fantastic stuff you learn. Now, finish this up this morning with, so then what is our job as a Christian? Is our job is to shut our mouths and just be that quiet little Christian person and stay away from anybody else? And if you're there, give them the grace and just don't worry about it? Well, we got a whole long list of things coming that we're to do as a Christian. So far we've looked at the discovery. We've looked at make some decisions. We've looked at questions to ask yourself. We've looked at to depart from iniquity. We've looked at despise certain things. You know, we've looked at destroy the magnificence of. We've looked at the importance of prayer for other people. We've looked at tears. Yes, there will be tears, and Paul knew there were going to be tears. Paul had tears. We know that there's grace for certain people, and there comes a time where grace is not called upon anymore. We haven't talked about that yet. That's coming. And this morning we looked at truth. There has to be grace with truth. There has to be truth with grace. So what are we supposed to do? Well, with all this grace that we're supposed to muster in this dispensation of grace, Paul says, open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. That's one of the things we're supposed to try to help people see. But we can't open their eyes. Have you noticed? We can't get them to turn from darkness to light. Who is it that's hindered you from obeying the truth? You'll go back. He says in Romans 13, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do that. He says in Corinthians, therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. See, that's the King James Bible does that today. When you read your Bible, that Bible will bring to light the hidden things of darkness that you're still doing and will make manifest the counsel of your heart. That Bible knows your heart. He says that in Hebrews 4:12, 4:13. Well, that's Hebrews, I know, but that's still the Word of God. Where is the Word of God today? King James Bible, through Paul, rightly divided, the risen Savior. Then that is what's sharper than a two-edged sword. Paul's words were sharper than a two-edged sword because he was the words. John, the apostles. They all got persecuted. Why? Because they spoke their words from God were sharper than a two-edged sword. Do they think much of Moses? Well, he always got mad at Moses. Moses was giving them the Word of God. He says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. People should see the risen Savior in our day-to-day life. Not just some new legalistic person following Timothy and Titus. With grace, the joy, the light. What's the light? The Word of God, the King James Bible, rightly divided. That's the light people need to see in our lives. And I know they don't. I know I don't shine it all the time. I shine it at all. It's what we're fighting all the time. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. And he says, walk as children of light. Come on, walk that way. He changed you. Now walk like you've been changed. Don't let somebody... Well, what's hindered you into following? What's happening? Who's dragging you down? What's going on here? We talked about that a few weeks ago. He says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of... Here's a tough verse, folks. Here's a tough verse. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Okay, we don't. Yeah, but then he says, but rather reprove them. Oh, you know what that is? That's grace seasoned with salt. That's telling people why you don't wear this, why you don't go there, why you don't do this anymore. It's not just coming up with some little excuse. Well, I've got fat legs. I want to wear a long dress because I've got fat legs. I don't want to talk loud anymore because I got a sore throat tonight. I don't want to not go there anymore because, I just don't feel good. And we come up with all these worthless little, whiny little excuses why we don't want to do something instead of saying what we should say with grace. With a little salt in there. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spirits of wickedness. That's the battle. That's who we're fighting. He says in Colossians, two more verses, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He has. Because he makes our soul clean. He got rid of the law as far as for righteousness. All things are lawful. You know what that is? That's being delivered from the power of darkness. Yet that sin that's in us still gets us to follow that sin. Romans chapter 6. Lastly, in Thessalonians, he says, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So why do we do the things we do? Because Paul tells us in Romans chapter 7, our mind serves the law of God, but our flesh wants to serve the law of sin. And that's the battle we have. The battle's not between us and other people. It's supposed to be within ourselves. That's truth. And we know Paul says over and over and over, people cannot handle the truth. And as we get closer and closer to Romans chapter 11, 22, where it says, when the Gentiles are done to the goodness of God, which is Paul's teachings, and they no longer want to hear them, they don't want to talk about them, they don't want to do anything about it, it's all done, then God will be done to the Gentiles, and those few people that will be truly, sincerely saved will be taken up in the rapture, and God is done with the Gentile. That's the rapture, because that's when the tribulation starts. And we're getting closer and closer and closer. I know. It's been said for years, we must be closer. We thought the rapture was going to come, my wife and I did, way back a long time ago. Ted Kennedy was supposed to be the Antichrist back in those days. Now you got Kissinger. Now I don't know who they say anymore nowadays. Probably Benny Hinn or something, you know. I mean, who knows? But it's getting closer. I mean, they're talking about the mark. They're talking about the banks and things. They're trying to get this into a one. Boy, I'll tell you, they want to have one world bank. It's just there, folks, and people just ignoring it like it doesn't even exist. Marilyn Kench, you probably said, amen, because you know that. And how do you tell people that? You just do it with grace, season with truth, season with a little salt of truth in there, and stay with it. How many of you have burnt bridges? I can name a huge list of bridges in my past that I have burnt, and they're no longer going to be fixed. They no longer, the materials are gone. There's just no way we're going to fix anything. Well, while we're still alive, let's see if we can't make our manner of life better for the bridges that are fixable and for the new people we're going to meet and for nothing else. Just Paul says, the risen Savior says, it's reasonable service. We could at least live right, dress right, talk right, do right, give our body a living sacrifice. Let's live for the truth. Let's do the best we can fighting our flesh. And don't let somebody drag you down and drag you back. But it's what's happening all over. It's what's happening all over. So tonight, after grace, what comes after truth tonight? Remember we went through this list somewhat? So you want to come back tonight? We'll see what comes after truth. We've had tears. We had prayer, tears, grace, and truth. All dealing with the manner that we live with each other. Husband, wife, family. And it's not just all peaches and grace. There's more to it to please God. We will see you tonight.